Hello, this is Vlad, and you are listening to Olafield's Fantasy Podcast.
All right, let's just get right into it, Jeff, because this is a no-holds-barred All the Feels Fantasy Music Podcast. No, all jokes aside, Jeff, it's the All the Feels Fantasy Podcast coming in through your ear holes on a Thursday. We're in the doldrums, Jeff. You teased it last week. You know, people come here for the deep dives in NFL and fantasy. And as we do every year, you know, we're about to do a whole deep dive and research into the scouting combine as we do every year. But unfortunately, no scouting combine this year, Jeff. So those who are waiting to hear our in-depth analysis on the 40 times and the broad jump and the chest pumps, gonna have to wait till next season, Jeff. Lots of stuff coming at you today. Speaking of seasons, Jeff, oh boy, winter is here. People complaining about the cold. Newsflash, it's winter. Jeff, how are you?
Well, I am good. Big shout out to all the people across the country trying to stay warm right now. You in particular, those in Texas not used to it. Power update, my parents have power, so that's good. Good for them being old and it being cold, so... Yeah, but I am excited to be here with you, Will. These are always the interesting pods. You know, we're not in training camps. Free agency hasn't opened. There's really nothing from an NFL perspective other than one major person declaring free agency in J.J. Watt. And so that dominates every headline. But we at the All the Feels Fantasy Podcast at ADF Fantasy on Twitter, we come up with the content to keep the people... intrigued, engaged, to support our official, unofficial sponsors. And we have a treat, a themed treat for you today, all about President's Day. President's Day weekend this past weekend and Valentine's this day weekend. I mean, you have two holidays back to back, big timing right there. What did you get into for Valentine's Day, Will? I saw some pictures. It looks like you guys were... and dining indoors, and it looked, you know, looked great.
Yes, I don't know what I can't even tell you what it's some capacity still here in North Carolina, but as long as you have masks, you're good. So we celebrated on Friday night, because Friday night is our date night for the week. As being in a restaurant, I don't get Saturdays and Sundays off, but Friday nights I do have off, so we use that as our Valentine's night celebration. Went to this delicious seafood restaurant called Sea Level.
Ooh.
Had a bunch of oysters, and as they say, oysters are the aphrodisiacs, you know, they got little things. So we had some oysters from Alaska, we had oysters from North Carolina, we had oysters from California, and we had oysters from Connecticut. And guess which ones were our favorite?
Connecticut.
That's right. Hey, very interesting.
Taste of home.
So weird how that ended up being the best ones. They accidentally, when we ordered, she misheard us and thought we wanted the California ones. By the way, from Humboldt Bay.
Ooh,
they were abso trash. And we were like, we did not want these. So thankfully, she hooked us up and gave us the Alaska ones, because that's the ones we really wanted. Anyway, went there and then just kind of, we wanted to gallivant around downtown Charlotte, but it's called Uptown. Uptown Charlotte. Reason is because it's above, it's higher elevation than the rest of the surrounding area of Charlotte. And unfortunately, it was 25 degrees out, so we took a couple steps outside and said, all right, well, that was a fun date night. we went back home. Alas, that was that. And then Sunday, we cooked before. We had a nice brunch at home, made some pancakes with apples and cinnamon. Little bit of mimose before I went to work. Don't tell my boss.
Ooh.
And yeah, that was it. Yeah, nice. It was a very nice Valentine's Day weekend. And of course, it was a little bit longer because of President's Day, which we will get into later on. Ashley had no school. Today's Wednesday. On Monday. So we use that as an example, another reason to kind of cook and spend that night together as well. And we got into some shows, but we'll get into that later on. What did you do? Anything special for you and the missus and the child, a.k.a. upcoming children?
So we started the day. Shay gave me a very nice gift. Because of COVID, I haven't been able to go to any of the prenatal appointments for little Parker. So she set up with this third.
Wait, little who?
What?
Wait, little who?
Oh, little Parker, little La Reveal Magnifico there.
Whoa, whoa.
Yeah.
So name drop on the pod.
Name dropped. Parker's the name, so we're going with that. Middle name. In discussions, we think we've aligned, but more coming on that front.
Okay.
So she aligned with this third-party ultrasound place, and so we went to go. They do like 3D, and they'll give you pictures and stuff. But mm-hmm. the little stinker was he had his dukes up the whole time and was hiding. So needless to say, we had to reschedule that. And then we went out for a nice dinner out of Newport on a little patio by the old bay. It was a nice, 68, 70 degrees. People were out in shorts and a t-shirt. It was just another California day. and then, the evening we met up with Samwise Gamgees, Captain Andrew Luck, for those listeners of the pod. From Raftpool, currently stationed in South Korea.
Mm-hmm.
But he had about a month off, so he came to visit his wife and his two daughters who live in the Cerritos upland area. But his parents still live in Mission Viejo, so they were down. So we met up at the Great Park, a meeting of the children, the two families.
Cute photos aplenty.
Some playing and chasing the kids and then them getting into no good. Some seltzers were enjoyed. Some camaraderie was had.
hopefully by you, not the kids. Whoa.
Well, we'll see about that. yes, of course, by the adults. Safety first. Gamgees joining you soon in the Carolinas, though. So we talked a little bit about that. And he'll be out there kind of in the early summertime. He didn't quite have his bearings about where, the Queen City was in relation to where he would be. But, distance be darned when you're in the Carolinas and you got some homies from back in the day. You make it happen. You tell me to go back to Raleigh, you go to Raleigh or, Durham or wherever. I don't know. I don't know the geography of the Carolinas. But it was good to see Sam. It was good, good Valentine's Day overall. I would say the one downside of Valentine's Day is we are house hunting and it is insane out here and we are very unlucky in all of our attempts, but we will forge on.
Wow. Don't let Mama Soyce know. Ooh, keep that on the DL.
Well, I mean, if she wasn't selling overpriced homes that are three stories, then we do look back on the day where we surreptitiously ran into your Mama Soyce in Rancho Mission Viejo, and she was like, I can get you a smoking deal on this house. And we were like, no, that's too expensive. That's crazy. Why would we do that? And then now Shay and I both are like, GD, we should have taken that deal from Mama Soyce.
Wait, are you serious?
Oh, yeah. It's insane out here.
Open the kimono even more. Okay, so you thought... Wow.
Well, I will say it was still too expensive from the Melarus because of when the house was built and the price at the time. But we are looking, we aren't looking. We looked at one place in Rancho Mission Viejo that was like one of the earlier developments and just, the square footage in the house and compared to what we were looking at with your mom, it doesn't compare.
Wow. She had it. She had it in for you guys and... It's okay. Still three stories. You don't want three stories. That's the breaker there, right?
Yeah.
It's three stories. Yeah. Melarus, three stories. She does have places with no Melarus. I did tell you that. I just want to reconvene at a later date. Rancho Mission Viejo, the hot spot in California. Who would have thought?
Hell yeah. The old Citron. With the largest...
Largest
freestanding bridge now complete in Orange County. There you go. Rancho Mission Viejo. Fun fact for the day.
No idea about that. Jeff, is there a Marvel update? Last time we talked, you guys were going to try to run the gauntlet, the Infinity Gauntlet.
Oh, yeah.
Of Marvel movies. How far have you made it?
So we've gone through Captain America, Captain Marvel, Iron Man 1, Iron Man 2. Now we're at Thor. Whoa! Now we're at Thor. I always viewed the Iron Man series with a sense of, like, I had it at a high bar, and then I rewatch it and you compare it to the Guardians of the Galaxies and the later Avengers, and it doesn't really stack up. I mean, the movies hold up. They're still good movies, but they're not as good, I would say, as those later ones. So,
you know, after all this, I hope you're keeping track, because you're going to have to rank all 48 movies.
Oh.
So just get ready.
Well, okay. I will get into that. I mean, that little sneak behind the kimono, this is a Mount Rushmore. I mean, four rankings. I mean, I don't even know how we can get into 48. That'll be like a March Madness, maybe. We'll do that around that time.
Ooh, it's coming up ooh, here quick. Okay. Yeah, that's a good, now talk about a month-long tease. I want to get into two more, like, kind of entertainment questions before we move on to the main gusto of the pod. I've talked about this show before. I did it last season, Married at First Sight. I really do think you and Shay would absolutely enjoy this show. Have you still not tinkered with the idea of watching it?
What platform is this on? Remember, we don't have cable. We don't have cable.
I know you don't. So. I know. The channel it's on is Lifetime.
Okay.
I believe it's probably. Lifetime? I'm sure it's on Hulu or something. You'd have to. Lifetime. No. Yeah, you'd have to check it out and see what it would be on. But
A&E. Maybe it's on the A&E app. Or do I have to download the Lifetime app now? Okay.
Just keep me posted on this. But I'll just tell you this: this is the new season. It takes place in Atlanta. It filmed during COVID, but it's more at the time when COVID was at least a little bit lightening up. It's only on, like, episode 3 right now, or episode 4. And, I mean, Ashley, this is appointment television. I'm telling you right now. It's not wait for the recording. It's on tonight at 8 o'clock, and we're going to be on our couch at 8 o'clock.
Oh, wow.
Because there are some couples here that... And I've told you this about the show before. People listening know this show, and if you don't, here's a 10-second rundown. You sign up to get married to a stranger. They pair you up with who they think is going to be a good fit for you, and the first time you ever see them is when you're on your wedding day. That's it. And you have to actually be married. You're legally married for 8 weeks. And then after that, you decide if you're going to get divorced or stay married.
Interesting. All right.
There are two couples in this episode. There's really one where you're kind of thinking, did these, doctors and counselors and producers do this on purpose to make us cringe and make us hate one of them and make us feel sorry for the woman, spoiler alert, about what's going on? Like, this woman, this poor, I mean, not poor in the sense she's poor, this woman who is trying to get married and find love gets matched up with the biggest douche tool, wannabe, like, rich man, like, bad, thinks he's just the cock of the walk. And he is the worst person on this show, at least in the 5 seasons I've watched, and there's been some doozies. And he has dropped a couple bombshells that I don't want to spoil, but let's just talk about he's had some past relationships before this show. And they're already coming back into the show.
Okay,
it's been 3 episodes in.
Okay, I have the list of names of the couples. Okay, this is season 12.
Look at them. You want to just?
I don't have their pictures. The only thing I have is their name, age, and occupation. So I want to guess. I want to see if I can pinpoint because there are some definite, there's a three group. But just based on their occupation that I'm kind of zeroing in on who this person is. My first guess is going to be, is this Chris Williams? Chris Williams.
Yes.
Oh, yes. They list his occupation as owner of a closed Subway. So I don't know.
You cannot be. Oh, my God, dude. Yes. That is. If that doesn't want to make you watch. I don't know how else I'm supposed to get you in. Do your best. Try to find it on your millions of Fire Sticks, Hulu. Just do what you can. Again, appointment television.
Okay.
Appointment television. All right. Last thing I will move into is...
Can we just circle back? Is it a Subway restaurant or like he owned a transportation?
Okay, just no more. Okay. Just no more. Yes, he owns the New York subway.
Okay.
All right, so this next one I want to get into. Everyone's into murder documentaries, right? Murder mysteries, murder documentaries. I mean, I think would you say it started like 4 or 5 years ago with Making a Murderer? Was that, remember that show?
Yeah,
Netflix?
I think it was that, and I think it's this. I don't know which came first, the Serial podcast or Making a Murderer.
Yeah,
kind of like.
And then
same
I mean, there's obviously been
tons.
Shows like Dateline, in 2020, and which we still watch. Dateline, we love Dateline. But anyway, so. But these come out, it seems like every day there's a new one. There's one on HBO, The Murder at Middle Beach, which is, or something like that, which is in Connecticut. You know, there's, who knows, there's the Scott Watts story or Chris Watts story and, you know, all these whatever. So the newest one just came out, I think, a couple days ago. It's on Netflix. It's called the Cecil Hotel. Does that sound familiar? Murder Mystery at Cecil Hotel. I don't know if you
can't keep up with these.
Okay, exactly. Well, okay. So we're 2 episodes in, it's 4 episodes long, and I am not a fan of it. And I want to know, when you're – just give me like a quick bullet point. Like what do you need – and if you want me to go first, I will. But what do you think makes a good documentary mystery kind of murder thing?
Well, I think you know, at least one of the elements that because there was that one show that I think we reviewed on the pod where they were unsolved.
Which
I think is terrible. I don't know why they did that.
Yes.
So it needs, it needs to be like kind of realistic in the sense that you can relate to certain elements. So it draws you in. It needs to have some resolution, some climax, some twists. And I think, I don't know, like I was always drawn to those where there's two sides and one side views the person as like a good person and they would never do this and they're falsely accused and the other side is like, no, this is terrible and he or she did all these bad things.
So I'm on 100% with you with there needs to be resolution. I don't want to waste 4 hours of my time and then find out be like, and she still has not been found to this day. And it's like, what? Then why did I waste my time with this? That's the one thing. So that is why we love Dateline. It's just a new, it's a news documentary, you know, on NBC or whatever the hell channel it is. It's an hour long, maybe 2 hours. And it's realistic, partly what you just said. There's no, there might be some like supernatural things that happen during it, but eventually it will be solved and wrapped in a little bow. You'll be, the person will be in jail or whatever. Just they'll wrap it up. So that's what makes a good one. The one that I'm currently watching about the Cecil Hotel with Ashley is making me go on my phone, making me just question what I'm watching because they like to repeat the same facts over and over again and make the same generalization questions. Just to give you a brief recap, just a girl disappears, okay? Girl disappears and they can't find her. They like to tell you that every 5 minutes. Where could she have gone? Where could she have gone? Yeah. I don't know. That's what this documentary is for. Tell me. Oh, but maybe she could have done this. I could say that. And then these people they're interviewing. Now we've gotten to the point, Jeff. We've gotten to the point where the people they're interviewing are not cops. They're not homicide detectives. Mm-hmm. They're not the hotel manager, which I am listening. Those people are interviewed. But now we're also interviewing YouTubers and web sleuthers. Web sleuthers. This one dude is like he just says web sleuther. Oh yeah, I was in between jobs, so I had a lot of time to look at this case. What, you were in so you don't have a job is what you're saying. Yeah. You're not a web sleuther, you're jobless. And then there's a point where he just repeats and he goes, and then, you know, I just started feeling sympathy for her, like I don't even know her, and I just was like weeping because I don't know where she is, and I'm like staring at this dude. What is the point of this conversation right now? You are doing nothing to this documentary. This, and I'm just rolling my eyes at all this. Like, oh, and just to repeat the same facts over and over again. They're stretching this thing out for 4 hours. So concise.
4 hours. Yeah.
We're 2 hours in. Concise, a resolution, and let's go with, you know, actual documentarians. How about that?
Yeah, I think you're spot on there.
I'm so sick of these. So, Jeff, we can make one. We could,
well, yeah.
We could, me and you could literally research, just click on, you know, unsolved, let's do unsolved mystery, and then we can just tape ourselves and be like, oh, you know, who could have done this? And just do it 10 times. I mean, could it have been someone not on the camera? And then say that again, and then say it a different way. But did we see the camera? And then just, you know, it's that's literally all that's going on in this. So, whew.
I am intrigued to get some business cards with Internet Sleuther on them. Mm. So, hand those around at a little cocktail party.
Also,
Jeff
lots,
and Will,
lots of,
Industry Sleuther.
Lots of generic, gosh, what's the term? Stock footage. Lots of generic stock footage in this show, by the way.
This doesn't seem like a very high budget. It seems like
it kind of is. I don't know. I'm sure you'll watch it because you'll see it when you pop up the Netflix and it's number one trending because everyone's watching it. Yeah. There you go. That's my murder rant. Waste of time. Just like that rant.
To the meat of the pod, yes. Will. To the good stuff. To the gusto. To the Chantilly cream. Mm. In the vein of, you know, and this is all credit to Will. I mean, we had a little pre-pod meeting. We knew the content would be sparse, but Will comes through in the clutch. Along the lines, we touched on it President's Day weekend this past weekend. So we decided to do a President's Day themed Mount Rushmore pod across the topics that we love to bring up consistently here on the All the Fields Fantasy Podcast, mostly music and entertainment, NFL and fantasy. And just for the listeners, you know, the four people, I don't know how you went about your multiple Mount Rushmores that we'll get into, Will. If you just kind of made it a top four, I tried to, ascribe the likeness of the individuals, artists, bands to the likeness of the presidents that they represent. Namely Washington, the founding father, Jefferson. Yeah, he was there in the beginning, a founding father. Lincoln, changing of the guard, changing of times. And Teddy Roosevelt, the rough rider, you know, a free spirit, very overlooked by some when put on the Mount Rushmore, if you will, and his significance in the world landscape.
Interesting.
And history. How did you go about it? Was it just kind of a top four?
So I went with most I top four slash nostalgic.
Yeah.
There you go. So nostalgic fueled, not so much titans of the industry. Although the music one, I could kind of like the three of them I picked, I can totally relate to those the way you did it. In some, I'd have to switch a little bit of the order, but I can make it happen. But now I get your order for the first one for sure. But yeah, I kind of did a little bit of both, but I can tinker my way around it and make it just like you, Jeff. Let's start with the music corner. Mount Rushmore. Wow. Great start. Rushmore of Screamo. Jeff, you just said topics that we talk about a lot. This music thing has really come to a head the last 3 or 4 weeks, I feel like. We haven't really done a much music, but I guess lately we've just been kind of coming back into it, which is nice to recollect and get back into the ways of yore, yesteryear. And I love it. So we're into the Screamo bands. I wrote high school in parentheses, kind of like when we were in high school. I mean, you know, there's still post-hardcore and metalcore and all the whatever. And there's still some screaming bands, and mostly the bands we listed are still performing. But just where do we... You know, what do we think Mount Rushmore wise? Do we want to run through all four? Do we want to go one by one? How do you want to do this, Jeff?
Well, maybe do a one for one, and I'll say, I also tried to not, at least for this one, copy the same. You definitely had some ones that I would slot into my Mount Rushmore, but for the sake of adding some additional fodder, I went in a different direction. So, who is your Washington out of your list, and maybe you tinker on the fly, maybe you just run it back?
So your Washington would be the founding father, right? That's what you would kind of go with, the setter of it. Unfortunately, I can't really, out of the ones that I picked, I will say this for my Washington, I will say, I guess, the one that's the longest in the tooth, still going, and although I'm not really sure which one started first between these two, I will just kind of go with Under Oath as that first one, just because I want to say that it is the first real introduction I got to it, with their only Chasing Safety, and of course they had the album before that, which I believe, if I can just remember something, years, or I don't know, I'll think about it in a little bit. Yeah. But that was the one that was kind of like the opener to me. So I guess you can call it my George Washington. And the reason this came about, you know, because of a text I sent you last night where Under Oath just released this year, I want to say in the last week, a re-recording of a live performance of their only Chasing Safety, the entire album, at the Observatory in Orange, I believe, is where it is.
Santana.
Oh, of course, Santana. Listening to that, the memories hit me hard, hit me good. So that's the one right there, Under Oath for me. They would be on the dollar bill for me.
Yeah, no, a strong choice. If I will say about Under Oath, I think they definitely, you know, you ran down the genres, if you will. They're definitely in that screamo category, if, you know, a third party would definitely call them a screamo band. And to your point around Washington, I think they... that album in particular, They're Only Chasing Safety, popularized it, at least in our, you know, stratosphere of high school, right? Like, we were playing Under Oath as our warm-up music for soccer games. So they were definitely founding from that perspective, and that it provided a baseline of screamo for many of our ilk and age. I went with, you know, maybe a band that wouldn't be considered screamo, but definitely had screaming and some influences. And you wrote High School, and I know this band has, you know, a place in our hearts and demons for many reasons. But they were a band that really, you know, were founding in the foundations of my music tastes of that time period. And that was Thrice, especially their first couple albums, which definitely were on the more post-hardcore screamo side. And much like George Washington, only had one term and then walked away to his palatial estates. And that's kind of what I think about Thrice, is that they had that first run. They were a founding. They got big off their sound, and then they just faded off into the distance of whatever, you know, musical projects they wanted to get into, elemental, you know, atmospheric music that they get into now. So I don't even know.
The Alchemies, Part 8. Yeah. So I didn't, you know, Thrice was a tough one for me, because I wasn't sure if I really calculated them as a screamo per se. I guess it's because they're just in every genre possible at this point, that I didn't really group them into there. But yes, of course, I mean, that's just, we've had many a trouble with them in our years together, Jeff, and many a show. My next one. So Jefferson, I mean, Jefferson's quite controversial. I guess him and Washington, would you say, were both controversial. So I wish my band was controversial, but they're not. So I'm going to go with, you know what? Let's see. Hold on. I will. You know what? Jefferson's going to be my hidden band.
Oh.
Sorry for the tease. The tease, everybody. The hidden. I have one that's hidden from Jeff, out of the three categories we're doing, and actually none of them match any of the ones he did, so we're good there. My Jefferson one, the controversial one, will be Scary Kids Scaring Kids.
Ooh, there we go.
Mm-hmm, yep, and the reason I'm going to list them as controversial, because only had two albums, three if you count their EP, so not a long stay, although, of course, they're kind of back with the new singer. Their original singer, Tyson, notoriously... we're not going to say committed suicide, but died of an overdose many years ago. So they've been out of the limelight. And just not a very well-known band, but I would say those who know of them. I've never heard a person say, yeah, I know them, and I don't like them. So I'm going to go with Scary Kids, Scaring Kids, one of my four on the Mount Rushmore of screamo.
Nice. Love a good Scary Kids, Scaring Kids. They definitely, much like Jefferson and the Constitution, have their hits that definitely were genre-defying and changing. I went with senses fail as my Jefferson, they really, for me, were right in that like that sweet spot of screamo. You know, they're very underrated live. Seen them many times. You know, they have a staying power that I believe they're still around, putting out work till this day, and just some absolute bangers, just like Jefferson. So love me some Senses Fail.
I will say this, Senses Fail. I've only seen them live once, and I did not like them at all. I thought they were really bad.
When was that? When
it was at a Warped Tour with, I want to say you were there, but not sure. It was, gosh, who knows which one it was, but it was a Warped Tour, and I decided to watch Senses Fail instead of seeing Alexis on Fire, and that was one of my biggest concert regrets I think I've ever made. Because Alexis on Fire is one of my favorite bands, and of course they were never really a band for very long. I went and decided to see Senses Fail, and disappointed.
You failed.
But this is your list, Jeff, and I'm not here to argue with your list.
They're
the
definitely
next one
more
I will...
of a chain reaction, side stage, soma special, a little more intimate than a
of course.
Tour.
Yeah, you can't really judge a group based on a 25 minute set on a 100-degree day in California. My next one, the Lincoln. So Lincoln, we're calling the one who changed it, the changing of the times. I don't really know. My last two qualify for that, but I don't care. I'm picking Emery. We talked just last week or 2 weeks ago about him. You asked me if they were overrated, underrated, properly rated, all that stuff, and I guess I could say Emery definitely brought a lot more keys and harmonies and all this kind of weird, you know, melodic tunes into their music, especially after their first album. Emery is definitely a huge impact musically on me and just who I would listen to after them and all that. I did wish I would have seen them live because you can only, we talk about Warped Tour, but just in general, these bands that do have the screamer and the singer, you want to know how do they prepare and perform live? But Emery, I could go on and on about how many songs they have. And their whole album, The Question, is great front to back. And then, of course, their one before that with Walls and the Ponytail Parades and stuff like that. Great, great, great.
Yep.
Love them, Emery.
I will say, yes, to kind of draw that through line a little more, much like Lincoln, he was a uniter and he brought people together. And I think those harmonies and the style of Emery brought a lot of, you know, non-fans of screamo into the genre. They were a really good entry band for people who didn't want to go full, you know, Under Oath or Senses Fail, but still liked, you know, the melodies, the keys, and the sound that Emery were bringing to the table. So love that for Lincoln. My Lincoln, the one that kind of changed the game, and I will say, you know, for me, this is kind of a personal thing, and I struggled with this one a little bit because you wrote in parentheses high school, so I had to make sure that this band was actually around when we graduated high school, and they were. They put out their first album in 2005. I guess it was their first major release, A Day to Remember, with kind of a, you know, trying to put myself back in that time. You had the bands like your Thrices, your Under Oaths, your Senses Fail, which I felt like were in one camp. And then also at the same time, you were coming off of the waves of Blink 182 and your Newfound Glories and your Good Charlottes. And that was still, they were putting out
their
second albums.
Oh, wow. The punk pop Mount Rushmore coming next.
You had your...
Because you just named three of them right there. Woo!
Yeah. And you had your Fall Out Boys. And this band, A Day to Remember, I think was a fusion of the two in kind of what they call the easy core genre. So elements of hardcore, elements of pop punk kind of fused together, which... to me was, you know, you got a little bit of it in Newfound Glory, but I think this band added kind of a harder edge to it, which I thought was amazing, changed the game for me. And they, after, you know, they would put out three or four just absolute banger-filled albums that stand up to this day, rock them whenever. Yes, a uniter of genres, individuals, and life, really.
It's funny, I first listened to them my freshman year of college. I remember being in, this is a deep pool right here. I remember being in anthropology.
Ooh.
And some kid behind me was listening to music. and he had some concert, a band shirt that I liked. And, you know, these are the days when I actually talk to humans.
Huh.
And I was like, oh, hey, what do you listen to? He's like, oh, this is a band called Data Remember. And he let me listen to it. And, yeah, that was it.
Yes.
And I believe it was from For Those Who Have Heart. I believe that was the album. But
good, good.
I would imagine that was the album. It was 2006, 2007. So not sure if Homesick was out. It might have been out late. So it doesn't matter. That's where I got introduced to them. Great choice. And they are a great band live. Seen them once.
Oh, yeah.
And it was amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Really good. My last one, Teddy Rose. You know, my Teddy Roosevelt knowledge, not the greatest.
Not great. Yeah, I'm with you.
You know, I think there was some world war. Not sure if it was one or two. That's fine. Was it any of those? I don't know.
No.
I know that Robin Williams played him in Night of the Museum.
Oh,
so,
there you go.
There's that. So I'm just going to go with an unsung hero. I guess that's what I'll do. And that's Silverstein. Still doing it, too. Still doing it.
Okay.
They have what I'm sure if you were to do a March Madness-style competition of post-hardcore Screamo albums, I would imagine Discovering the Waterfront being a one seed or a two seed. Now, that's just my personal preference, but I think we could get enough votes to make that happen. I want to say that album is universally known as just one of the greatest albums of all time, and please feel free to disagree with me if you like. Just great live band, especially with the singer. He does it all himself, screaming, singing. Remember one co-executive producer, Greg Trost, did not know that one time when we saw them live. And, of course, I think I just texted you guys a couple weeks ago. This is the 9-year anniversary of me getting kicked out of a Silverstein August Burns Red concert at the House of Blues Anaheim for crowd surfing too much. So there you go.
No. Love the choice. If I had to pick a high school band out of all these, like, it would have been Silverstein for me.
Yeah.
I must have seen them like 3 or 4 times at Chain Reaction every time they came through. Loved it. You could sing all their songs. I mean, like you said, you could crowd surf, you could get crazy. Just bangers after bangers, doing it to this day. Living the Rough Rider life, as Teddy Roosevelt would have loved Silverstein. And this is completely random. There's a YouTube video, I forget what the channel is, but it's like a post-mortem kind of on this era from, and they have the singer from Silverstein and the singer from Under Oath, and they both kind of chronicle the rise of this genre. And so it was kind of interesting. It's like a half hour. I wish I had more information to plug it, but it's out there. You can search it and find it. My Teddy Roosevelt, kind of an oft, you know, forgotten. The legacy of him will you know, be estranged when compared. And this is a band definitely in the Screamo 100% category, From Autumn to Ashes. And this is kind of a personal choice for me. I was, you know, they have a very distinct sound, a very distinct scream and singer, and they, you know, they have one or two hits, if you will, from kind of our high school era, but they continued pumping out records into our college days that I think were not as well received, and I don't know why, but this band never, I think, fully reached the heights that maybe they deserved, and just like Teddy Roosevelt, get overshadowed by other bands in the genre. I don't think they're doing anything as musicians anymore, but want to shout them out because they are on my Mount Rushmore.
And when you first started talking, I caught him. For some reason, I was confused. I mean, I know who they are, but for some reason, when you first started talking, I was like, oh, yeah, From First to Last. Because when you brought up the singer, I was like, oh, yeah, Skrillex. But no, that is another that's another From band. From Autumn to Ashes, I've heard a couple songs, but yes, I was never big into them, but you never know. Might have to dive back. I would love a recommendation or two of where to start with them. There you have it. I'm sure we'll get tons of feedback from that. Can't wait for the text from Greg the second this posts.
Mm.
And in fact, you know what? I'm not going to say it. I will text you off air to tell you the exact text we will get from him. I don't want to tease it because then he'll just do it.
Yep.
Jeff, that was what the people waited for. Now we'll get to some other mishmoosh, you know. Football. Why not? Let's do some football. In fact, I'm excited for this one. The NFL news, All Quiet on the Western front, Jeff. You kind of said it in the beginning. J.J. Watt was released. A lot of weird stuff going on with this. Just, oh, they'll treat J.J. Watt, the white player. They'll let him pick his team. Deshaun Watson, they're going to hold him hostage. Like, oh, God, here we go. Just here it is. You know.
Yep.
J.J. Watt's 32 years old. You know, they could have traded him for like a fifth round pick or a fourth round pick, fine, but there's just let him choose his team. Deshaun Watson's 25 years old and has 10 years of football left. They're going to try to get the most for him. What are they going to cut Deshaun Watson because he wants to go somewhere else? You guys in your agendas. Unbelievable. But nothing yet. No Carson Wentz trade. I mean, Wentz goes up to the Bears. Oh, jeez. That's what everyone's kind of thinking right now. But that doesn't matter. Jeff, if we would have done this conversation 2 years ago, maybe Carson Wentz makes this list. Just kidding. We are not Carson Wentz fans. But Mount Rushmore of QBs to start your NFL franchise with. I have one hidden. You do not match that person. Did you do the same thing with the Washington and all that kind of stuff comparisons with this one?
With the not as tight on this one.
Yeah.
Not as tight on this one. I will say the last one, yes, I was.
Mm-hmm.
I was spot on to that. But I think we both had, you know, I think we could probably flip-flop our first two to fit the mold.
Okay.
You know, I feel like people would probably argue that the Washington, the founding father, maybe because he came first, he fits better, is Deshaun Watson. We just mentioned him. I think when he came into the league, he kind of took what Russell Wilson was doing, a.k.a. the mm-hmm. English common law of the NFL, and took it to the next level as the first president of this hybrid, ultra-accurate, super-athletic passer, and just puts the team on his back one or two times a game and can be the quarterback that isn't system dependent and can win you a game here or there. So Deshaun Watson, I don't know anything else you want to add on that front as the Washington of this Mount Rushmore of QBs to start your NFL franchise with.
I guess you could call that him the Washington. It's tough because just all these people are roughly the same age. So do we really want to call one the oldest trendsetter one? Mm-hmm. I would say, although Deshaun Watson is the cream of the crop as one of these quarterbacks, Patrick Mahomes did kind of start the holy crap. He may not have played that long, but he's already amazing kind of trend where we've watched him throw seven balls and they're the most beautiful things we've ever seen. You know, we didn't really talk about it in the Super Bowl, but Patrick Mahomes has more incredible incomplete passes than other quarterbacks have complete passes. But I think you can flip-flop one of these two, Patrick Mahomes or Deshaun Watson. I think it's when we get to our 3 and 4, and if we're making him Lincoln or if we're making him the old Rough Rider Teddy Roosevelt is when we're kind of changing our tune. So I'll go number 3 right now. I'm going to go Justin Herbert. I guess we could call him maybe the Lincoln, maybe the new one, maybe the new young gun, the one making the changes in the league. And when I say making changes, what I think is, first of all, lo and behold, Oregon quarterbacks have been awful in the NFL. So he's the first real Oregon quarterback to kind of come in and start off so strong. But also the mentality of these quarterbacks, he's one of them, like Kyler Murray maybe, or even a Patrick Mahomes, where all they did was throw in college. They did not hike the ball under center. They did not hand off very much. And the pre-hype wasn't that good, at least from me, for sure. And there were people who thought Justin Herbert was, what, the third best quarterback in the draft last year behind Burrow and Tua. And spoiler alert, none of those guys are on our list right now. So maybe it is a changing of the guard, like, hey, we don't know what we're talking about, NFL draft experts. Justin Herbert went to sixth to the Chargers, and people were like, myself included, oh, man, they should have waited. There's no way he can play. And now he gets thrown into the starting lineup, and this dude is the rookie of the year and was one of the only players to outgun Tom Brady, like, in the regular season. That Super Bowl champion, Tom Brady, by the way. So that's Justin Herbert. Excited to see what he can do. And the NFL is in great shape with these quarterbacks right now, at least the stars that are coming up.
Yeah, love the Herbert. I kind of slotted him into that Lincoln category because he's bringing both the arm talent with the physical and the size combo back together with the super small running quarterback that's trying to change the game, which is who I had as my Lincoln. So I guess I'll contradict myself here a little bit there. I wanted to put Herbert here. You already did. I'll put Kyler Murray out there just for discussion's sake, trying to bring the NFL together with a bobblehead. You know, the hyper athletic, you know, decision making is to be determined. Pass accuracy and decision making also still to be determined, but kind of viewed as the way forward for quarterbacking in the NFL. And I think you'll see, you know, just based on who's coming up in the draft, they're trying to find that. Obviously, everyone wants the next Mahomes and Watson, but if they can't, they'll settle for the next Kyler Murray. So I put him as my Lincoln.
Not the biggest Kyler Murray fan. The hype was pretty unreal this offseason, and they got DeAndre Hopkins, obviously, and really they just underperformed, and maybe it's because of the coach. People are kind of not all in on Cliff Kingsbury. In my opinion, I'm still waiting on Kyler Murray. This is a team that I think they tied with the Lions. They went 7-9. They play in a tough division, granted, but I still think I think he's a great fantasy quarterback, which we could save for another discussion.
Yeah.
But I would rather have, I mean, not that you wouldn't, but I would rather have all the ones so far, and maybe even your fourth. I'd rather have your fourth one rather than Kyler Murray. And I'd rather have my fourth one, my hidden one.
Ooh, give it to me.
All right. So we talked about Washington, Lincoln, Jefferson, you know, Teddy Roosevelt's the Rough Rider. Well, I'm gonna change it up right now. Change it up because my fourth one is Tom Brady.
Okay.
George Washington, Tom Brady, the dollar bill of the NFL. Tom Brady's still got 10 years left. I'm taking him, starting my team. Doesn't matter who it is. Let's put him on the Raiders. Let's put him on the Bears. They're going to the Super Bowl. And that's that. There's nothing else to say. He's the GOAT, the greatest of all time, Tom Brady. He's on the Mount Rushmore for now, for 10 years ago. Tom Brady, let's just say this. You could pick any 7 years of Tom Brady, and he'd be a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, 2001 to 2007, they won 3 Super Bowls, and he was a rookie, or, you know, he was in his second year with one of them, and he also set the record in 2007 for touchdowns and all that stuff. Hall of Fame. 2009 to 2016, 2009 to 2015, whatever year you want to call that, or however many years you want to go, rebounded with Gronk and Aaron Hernandez, rest in peace. Had 2 Super Bowls then, went to 2 other ones, you know, lost a couple, big deal, big whoop, or lost one of them. Hall of Fame career. Oh, 2016 to 2021? Oh, why not? Let's just go to 4 of the 5 Super Bowls that were even in those years. I mean, whew, Tom Brady, beast. Not much more.
Yeah, I mean, I considered it.
10 more years.
I think, you know, there's possibilities there. You start your franchise with a bang, and then you can attract talent. You make it a destination, people to come there. I like the Tom Brady, the GOAT on the dollar bill. You know, he's a good Washington, if there ever was one, except for the fact that he's definitely getting multiple terms with multiple different teams, so un-Washington-like in that respect, but like the Brady selection, anytime we can bring up the GOAT is a good day. I went with Josh Allen. He is a rough rider, okay? He is not going to be 100% polished in every game, but he will put the team on his back and take the risks, and he's athletic. He's getting his accuracy better and better every year. The decision-making is there. He's young. He's virile. I can't believe this, that when I was looking up, I was just trying to get a lexicon of all the starting quarterbacks, and I came upon this PFF ranking of quarterbacks coming into 2020. They had Josh Allen at number 27, and yes, we consider it from a fantasy perspective, but he was a beast in the game. Oft overlooked, oft put down. He rises above the Rough Rider, and for all intents and purposes, he's fully embraced the Buffalo culture, lifestyle, team. And so you gotta love that as your face of the franchise, Josh Allen.
Love it. Love a good Mount Rushmore talk. And I love it so much, we're gonna do it again. Three times. Except now we are in the fantasy portion of the draft. Now this one, we took a big, 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 big broad stroke here. Big broad stroke. You could talk about anything to do with fantasy football. I wrote in parentheses, it could be a site, it could be players, it could be moments, whatever you want. This is your Mount Rushmore, and I want you to go first so that I can have time to think about my Washington Lincoln and all that stuff. So take it away, Jeff. Your Washington is a doozy.
Yes. I mean, let's talk about a head and a face that could be on Mount Rushmore, a bald white man by the name of Phil Dawson, the kicker at the time, for me, and why he makes my Mount Rushmore, my Washington, because his kick, I believe it was in 2014, or cemented my first Ralph Pool championship and my love for fantasy football. You have another one on your list that I would also consider in the Washington category, but Phil Dawson cemented my love and cemented as the father of fantasy football for me. His bald cue ball of a head will always have a special place in my heart. Phil Dawson.
So random. Still kicking to this day somewhere. 58 years old. I believe he was in the same draft. Oh man, this is me trying my best to get it right. I want to say he was in the same draft as Peyton Manning, but I think he's older than that, actually. I think he was drafted in 1997. Undrafted, maybe.
1998.
Oh, man, I was so close. Wow. Wait, that is the same as Peyton Manning, then.
Yeah.
Oh, I nailed it.
Count it.
All right, so Washington is going to be mine, is just the draft.
Yes.
The draft itself, a tale as old as time. The founding father of a fantasy season, right? It is. That's just that's when it's. You can go with mock drafts. You can go with preseason predictions, all that stuff. But this is when you start. This is the dollar bill of fantasy. This is when your hopes are set for a new government, a change in the way of your year.
Yes.
Because you have a new one in town, and it's the draft. Things might go downhill from there, but they could always go up. Like I said, just the construct of a fantasy season, whether it is football, baseball, basketball, soccer, hockey, whatever you want to play fantasy-wise, the draft is the best part of any season, and hopefully next season, in-person drafts return. The draft, the best thing about fantasy.
Love it. Yeah, definitely Washington-esque. My Jefferson, I'll say this. I don't know if you've ever listened to this podcast, but the Fantasy Footballers Pod, I believe they've won a couple, you know, Listeners' Choice Awards in the Fantasy Podcast. I don't even know. They've won awards, but they embody, much like Jefferson, kind of the spirit of fantasy football in that they don't take themselves too seriously. You know, they put in the work. They put in the effort. It's a well-produced pod. They have great polished content, but it's fun. It's a couple of bros in a basement chatting about fake football and, you know, a game that we all play. And so from that perspective, you know, taking fantasy advice from them, that's another thing. But I've always appreciated the product that they've put out and the thoughtfulness and the culture that they've driven around fantasy football. So shout out to them, the Ballers.
So I'm gonna move to my Teddy Roosevelt one and save the Lincoln one for my hidden one.
Okay.
My last one, I guess the Teddy one is gonna be trolling.
Yes.
And that is the troll, the being the anti person, the what do you want to, you know, the negative person, the positive person, the one who stirs up the trouble. And it's funny because as I'm doing my research on Teddy Roosevelt, he actually hated being called Teddy.
Oh.
So very interesting. He pointed it out to anyone who ever called him Teddy. Even though it would widely become used by newspapers during his political career. So he hated the name calling. So let's just call this one the Teddy Roosevelt Award right here. Trolling. Hey, if you can't beat him on the field, you beat him off the field. And that's what you try to do. And we've seen people do it many a times in our leagues, whether it starts at the draft, in the middle of the season, with trade nonsense, with podcast nonsense. A good league has good chatter. And I believe that was maybe the downfall. I don't want to say a downfall, but one of the things that brought down maybe fantasy seasons in general this year was the lack of communication and the lack of a real feeling of wantingness with the other people, because it's just everyone was just so – it's just a bad year. Just a bad year, 2020. So 2021, let's bring back the trolling. Let's bring back Teddy.
Love that. And you are a troll of the class that Teddy would have appreciated, presidential in your trolling. So love that. Let's go to Lincoln. I think we're fully aligned on Lincoln. DraftKings, the site, the sport, daily fantasy, changed the game, brought people together from the gambling world and the fantasy football world and the non-football watching world together under one roof. That is DraftKings, one of the first official and unofficial sponsors of the pod. We got to get back to having our weekly leagues this upcoming season, Will. I love it. Holds a special place in all of our hearts, DraftKings, baby.
I definitely skipped it. DraftKings is actually be my Jefferson. My Lincoln one is the hidden one. So DraftKings is my Jefferson, but I agree with DraftKings. I think everything you said, I mean, to me, he is kind of like a second founding father, where you kind of question it at the beginning. Maybe he's got some thoughts and beliefs, some radical ideas you're kind of questioning. But in the end, it's all about making money, and that's what Jefferson was about, making that money, getting that $2 bill ready to rock. I think he's on the $2 bill. I'm pretty confident about that. DraftKings, my Jefferson. Let's go to your last one. Is your last one a Teddy?
Yes, he's a Teddy. He's okay. Oft underappreciated, but he deserves his place among the Giants. He's rough in his beard exterior, but a softy at heart. J-Bell, the commish. Put him on Mount Rushmore. Again, him with Phil Dawson on Mount Rushmore, you can almost just picture it right there. Loving J-Bell. He's a man of the people. He has to deal with some of the personalities, much like Teddy in the late 1800s had to deal with rough people. I'm in the Old West. J-Bell deals with the Old West of the ship, Fantasy Football League. Trolls, interesting characters abound in the league. He does it with a level head and a DGAF attitude that is to be appreciated, and always collects the money and always pays out.
And always picks up FaceTimes, even though he has no service in the Wild Wild West.
Yes, that's true.
That is Hobunk, Colorado. My Lincoln is a relatively new – talk about changing of the guard. Mm. Talk about a change in the way people do fantasy, Jeffrey. Talk about the new unofficial official sponsor of the All the Feels Fantasy Podcast. Yes, of course. We are talking about FFPC, the Fantasy Football Players – Championship, Slim Ball, Best Ball, whatever you want to call it, Best Ball Leagues. That is my Lincoln. A changing of times is upon us. 2021 will be overrun with Best Ball Leagues, but owned by yours truly, the co-managers of the season. I looked it up. It's true. 2020 co-manager rookie of the years, Jeffrey and Will on the All the Feels Fantasy Podcast. What more is there to say than just the gravitas that we had to come out of nowhere and place in a league full of randos who thought they were hot crap, Jeff. And let me tell you, we're coming, and we're coming back next year, and we're coming back better than ever. Just like Lincoln. Oh, yeah. Set them free, just like we will.
Triple digits, come back to us. Emancipate from your year-long fantasy into daily
emancipate from you setting lineups. Just let it go. Let it breathe. Baby. That is
the most American refreshing way. Thing.
It is the American way. You pick what you think's the best and let it go. Just let it be, as the Beatles say, let it be. I am so looking forward to doing it. I don't know how many times, Jeffrey. I don't know what's going to be gone in the rearview mirror. I just know what's coming up in front of me, and that is multiple best ball leagues.
Ooh-wee. Let's get to it.
Mount Rushmore of the All the Feels Fantasy Complete. Teases abound. March Madness coming up. I don't know how, but this was an hour long, Jeff.
Did we
talk about anything? Did we just do my favorite thing about murder mysteries and documentaries where we talked about nothing, but we did have a resolution, so I think we're fine with that. Can't wait for the text messages to come to us. Please, please download, rate, subscribe, All the Feels Fantasy. Jose, your gift card's coming, by the way. Peace.
Peace out.